you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, May 4th, 2016. And Jason, I'm going to have just a couple quick announcements, and I want you to mill in your mind and heart. Are we equipped to go? As I know that's something you're preaching on. And in fact, this past Friday, when we did our study through Acts, Paul was very clear on get up and go. Or that was the proclamation. And so I want you to address that. Are we, in fact, equipped to go? Are we, as we've invited Christ into our heart, as we're faithful followers of him, what else do we need, or do we need anything else? So be pondering that. But I want to point out, I know you and I have talked about attending this, and I know the deadline was on Monday, but I think they'll still allow people to RSVP, as there is a Faith Leaders event. It's coming Wednesday, May 11th to the Hawthorne Suites in Champaign. It's dealing with legal advice on how to protect your church from sexual orientation or gender identity laws. And one of the speakers is Julie Royce. She's part of the Moody Broadcasting team. And they'll have some other legal representation. It's a free question and answer session, and they'll be addressing this topic that might be real helpful if you're a deacon, a pastor, a church leader, or want to know more about this topic that's going to affect Christian ministries and Christian churches. But you need to RSVP ASAP, probably today, by calling Kathy at 708-781-9328. That's 708-781-9328. It's 8:30 in the morning, Wednesday, May 11th, at the Hawthorne Suites in Champaign. It's a free breakfast, and the topic will obviously be dealing with legal advice on how to protect your church from sexual orientation and other gender identity laws and such. And Julie Royce will be one of the speakers, along with, I think, a couple attorneys that can answer some legal advice or make recommendations. So that's a free event, and I just wanted to point that out. But RSVP today, because I think the deadline was Monday, but they always have a few days that they can work with things. But, hey, I experienced what moms go through each and every day yesterday, and I think you had a little of it. Now you have a new trampoline in your yard watching those kids bounce around, but I was on an outing with the first graders from Judah Christian School. Esther's class, I think there's 20, 21 kids, and I think the other first grade class has 20 or 22 kids. And so they paired up a number of the parents with two or three or maybe four children, and we drove them to the Decatur Children's Museum and the zoo there. Have you been to that, you and Tasha and the family?
No, we've never been there. Is it good?
Yeah, it was worthwhile. It was fun. Not quite like what we've experienced in Indianapolis, but the zoo is similar to that one in Bloomington that's, you know, nice and accommodating. But I'm telling you, when the day was all done, I, you know, drove at about 8:30 in the morning. We got back at about 2:30. So it was only about a six and a half hour day. But I'm telling you, I had to take an afternoon nap. I was like exhausted. You know, we played the games, identify, you know, an A word, a B word as we're driving along. And then some other games, I spy and, you know, identify what I'm seeing. And I'm telling you, when it was all said and done, trying to keep track of just my three. And I don't know how these moms do it, though, Tasha included, four children or more, or just a teacher that has to track all the students, you know, for a number of hours. I was like, wow, I'm exhausted. So kudos to you moms. Yeah, kudos to you dads that assist in raising your children. And I just kind of got a first glimpse of what it is to have more than one always keeping track, because there was two levels in this children's museum. And at one point, you know, one says, can we go upstairs yet? No, not yet, not yet. And you know, with all these other kids from some other schools, it's like, oh, where did Kiara go? Aubrey, come back over here. Esther, where's Esther? So, oh, it was classic. So thank you, moms, for all the hard work you do each and every day. Sometimes I'm sure it goes unnoticed, but I think us men, when we have a little sampling of it, we know that, wow, we thank God for you. So, yeah, it was kind of interesting. Well, I posed a question to you, Jason, because I know you're doing a series, and I look forward to actually this Sunday's message. And I was thinking in light of last Friday when we continued our series through Acts, you were emphasizing that get up and go. And I think that's part of even your series now, even though I don't think you're using Acts, you're using other books to kind of do the framework. And this Sunday, I think you're preaching out of Romans.
Yeah, so the crux of the message is that, you know, I think Bible studies are great, and I think book studies are great, and I think reading books is great. I read a lot of books. I attend Bible studies. I promote Bible studies. But I believe in my heart that those things sharpen the implement. Like we've already been given the tools that we need to be able to do the work that God has called us to do. Because, you know, he has given us this unending commission. And praise God, I mean, through prayer, through his Spirit, through his word, through his bride, the church, through Jesus' work on the cross, we have unending provision.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've already been equipped through those things. We've already been given the tools. Now, praise God, we have ways that we can sharpen the tools and we can grow in grace and knowledge. But I believe in a very basic way, we've all been equipped for our calling. And, you know, I keep coming across people who tell me, well, if I just did one more Bible study, if I just do a training class on this, then maybe I'll be able to share my faith. If I just, you know, attend another conference, maybe somehow I'll figure that thing out so I can do it better.
Hmm.
You know, and even recently I went to a conference and I spent a lot of time with pastors there, a lot of friends of mine. And guys were looking at, you know, they had a big bookstore, and guys were looking in the bookstore and they were going, well, what about this study? You know, what if we do this? And then our people understand what it means to be the men of God. And I'm going, well, God's given us everything we need. I mean, there's no better handbook to learn what it means to be the man of God than it is to study the God-man Jesus Christ in the Bible. And he's given us his Holy Spirit because he knows we can't do it. And so we're empowered in a way that we didn't even intend or suspect. And so, you know, I think we've already been equipped for our calling. And so this, you know, these messages that I've been doing have just been walking through different places in Scripture, talking about how God has already equipped us. And so when I started the series, I opened up with a story, and I'll share it because I thought it was kind of a humorous story. And it's actually a true story. Herbert Jackson was a new missionary at a missionary outpost. And when he got there, he was assigned a car, but the car wouldn't start without being pushed. And so Jackson kind of pondered how he was going to solve this problem. You know, the car wouldn't start without a push. So he went to the local school, and he got permission to ask a couple of the students if they would come out every morning and push the car. And at the end of the week, he would pay them a few dollars to do this. And so every morning he'd go over there. The students would run out. They'd give the car the push. And then what he did during the day was he would either park on a steep incline or he would leave the car running. And every week he would pay the kids a few dollars. Well, after a few years, bad health forced Jackson and his family to need to leave this missionary outpost, and a new missionary came in to serve. And so Jackson, when the missionary came, Jackson began to kind of proudly explain this arrangement for how you get this car to work. You know, he said, here's the keys to the car. Now, the students are over there. It's like a couple dollars a week, and they'll come out and push it. And then, you know, if you got to go anywhere, park on a hill, or just make sure you leave the car running. And as he was explaining this, the new missionary interrupted him, and he said, let me look under the hood for a second. And he said, Dr. Jackson, I believe the trouble is this loose cable here. And so he gave the cable a twist, stepped into the car, turned the key, and to Jackson's astonishment, the engine roared to life. And for 2 years of needless trouble, which had become routine, the power was there all the time. All the power that Jackson needed was there all the time. Only a loose connection kept Jackson from putting that power to work. And, you know, there's a great passage that talks about the power of God at work, and that's in Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 19 and 20. And J.B. Phillips paraphrases that by saying this: how tremendous is the power available to us who believe in God when we make firm our connection with God. His life and his power flow through us. What is required from us is perseverance in that power by prayer. I think often when I put my son Samuel to bed, we either read or we sing a song, and then we pray. And that's kind of what we do with our kids. And so when I put him in bed, I say, Samuel, do you want to sing or do you want to read a story? And he generally wants to sing. He loves when we sing the songs. And so we either sing Amazing Grace, Mighty Fortress is Our God, or we sing, My God is so big, so mighty and strong. There's nothing my God cannot do for you. And I think as Christians, sometimes we say that, and yet we fail to demonstrate that power. And so when we fail to demonstrate that power, I think people assume a few things. They assume either the Bible isn't true, God is lying about who he says he is, or we're lying about who we say God is. And either way, those who don't believe, believe that someone's not telling the truth. And so my question is, when the world looks at the church, do they see power? Do they see a boldness derived from the kind of prayer that sees God clearly? Do they see courage in our strength? Do they see fearlessness in the fullness? Because we're operating in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of who God is, the fullness of the Word, and the fullness of the work of the Son. And if they don't see that, Mark, you know, I just think then, what do they conclude? Well, they conclude that God's not powerful, he's not mighty, and there's nothing that our God can do for them. Mm-hmm. And we know as Christians that that is the farthest thing from the truth. That is so far from the truth. And I love the way the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:4, "And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and of power."
Mm-hmm.
You know, it reminded me of this man who was trying to cut down a tree with a chainsaw. And it was really hard work, and he was just sweating all day long, and he thought so often about quitting until his neighbor came over and said, "Well, why don't you just start the chainsaw up?" And I think sometimes that's what life is like for us as Christians. You know, Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 5, "Without me, you can do nothing." And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, he says that you can do all things. Paul says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And I love that verse, Mark, because all things is not just some things.
Mm-hmm.
All things, everything requires the strength of Christ, the strength of his love, the fullness of his promise, the power of his presence. And the greatest strength, I think, comes when we have the fullest picture of God.
Mm-hmm.
And Ephesians chapter 3, it's an amazing run of scripture in Ephesians chapter 3. But I love it. It begins, and Paul says, "For this reason," and what reason is that? The power of God, who God is. Right before that, in Ephesians, Paul's been talking about the gospel. He's been talking about the power of God and the power of Jesus Christ and what Christ has done. And then he gets to Ephesians 3:14, and he says, in reference to all of that, he says, "For this reason, I bow on my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derive their name."
Mm-hmm.
He says, based on what I know about God, I can't help but fall to my knees. And I wonder, Christians, I wonder those who are listening right now, when you think about who God is, do you fall to your knees? Do you realize that there's nothing more than you can do than to fall on your knees? And for many of us, when we hear that passage, when we hear the, "For this reason I bow on my knees," it's not a big deal, because for us, praying is about getting on our knees. And yet, Paul, who is writing this, was born as a Jew. And praying for a Jew is not on the knees, it's standing. But when we look at the Bible, there's only extraordinary events where kneeling in prayer happens. In 2 Chronicles 6:13, Solomon dedicates the temple, and it says that he made a bronze platform, 5 cubits long by 5 cubits wide and 3 cubits high, set it in the courtyard, and he kneeled on it and prayed to the God of heaven. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the Lord Jesus fell on his knees and agonized in prayer before the Father. Paul is driven in this passage to his knees by the power of the gospel, the truth of who God is. And I love that it says before the Father, because Paul sees clearly God, so he falls to his knees seeing God so clearly that for him, he's not simply praying wherever it was he was praying, he is praying before the Father.
I wrote actually two different things down really quick. The paradox here, basically falling on our knees is a position of strength. You wouldn't naturally mm-hmm. think that, but when we're on our knees, we're connecting with God's power. And then I was thinking, as you're talking, because I knew where you're going, we are in fact equipped, but I began the program saying, are we equipped to go and to share? And is it because of our insecurities, our uncertainty in God's strength and power? Why don't we go and move forward and preach and share freely and with power?
I think it's because we don't have a strong picture of who God is, who the Holy Spirit is, who Jesus is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in this prayer that I'm talking about in Ephesians, Paul falls to his knees, he prays to the God of heaven. And then in the next verse, in the 16th verse, it says, according to the riches of his glory. So Paul is not praying out of his own strength. Paul is not praying out of what he even knows. Paul is praying out of the riches of God. And that's a different bank account, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a different place. I mean, our prayers to God should literally be according to God's riches. And I know that we read the Bible and we think God owns a cattle on a thousand hills, and that's true, and the earth and everything in it, and God owns the universe and the grandeur of the cosmos. But listen, God also owns yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and into eternity. And so how powerful is it to pray out of the riches of what has happened, what is happening, and what will happen?
And I like how you're saying we're praying out of his riches, not out of our strengths, our abilities, our unique gift sets. We're praying, you know, out of what he's going to offer, he's going to do, or what he already owns.
Yeah. Listen, the richest men in history sometimes gave from their riches. But God gives according to his riches. That means God gives on the scale of his wealth and his glory. God taps into his own resources, which we already know because he's omniscient, he's omnipresent, he's omnipotent, he is all-powerful. That means God is tapping into it and making available to us those resources, an unending supply of resource. And why does he do that? Well, Ephesians says that he may grant you to be strengthened with power. So his resources, his riches produce power through the Spirit in where? Paul says in our inner being, which means that that power is inside of us. You know, the prayer for inner strengthening is supported by the promises of God. It's not a mere wish by Paul that that would happen. It is happening. And it's for today, for us in the church. It's available for us in the church. Mm-hmm. And he says, according to the Spirit. And so I found a really great quote by Dr. Donald Gray Barnhouse. And he was quoting on the fruits of the Spirit, because the work and the evidence of the Holy Spirit in us is the fruit of the Spirit. And it says this: love is the key. Joy is love singing. Peace is love resting. Long-suffering is love enduring. Kindness is love's touch. Goodness is love's character. Faithfulness is love's habit. Gentleness is love's self-forgetfulness. Self-control is love holding the reins. We must be rooted and founded in Jesus' great love, from which the fruit of the Spirit comes forth. Ephesians tells us that God loved us with a great love. And that great love comes from the storehouse of his riches that are available to us, and not only to us, but at work inside of us. And that's pretty phenomenal when you think about it. I mean, when I think about that God is at work out of his riches and his power and the majesty of his glory inside of me, then suddenly all the things I fear, I'm not quite so fearful anymore.
Mm-hmm,
of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, suddenly I'm not scared to walk across the street and share with somebody who Jesus Christ is, or walk across the street and simply begin to love them, because I have evidences of the fruits of the Holy Spirit at work in me. We suddenly aren't fearful of those things, because they're all lesser things because of the power that we're operating out of.
Yeah, those insecurities, they fade away, or they should fade away when we connect with God and his riches.
Yeah, you know, I really think that that's true. And so we have been equipped to go. We've been equipped, and we've been given this by a God who is able. You know, Ephesians, the verses that I've been talking about, it ends in verse 20 and 21 with this amazing doxology. It is absolutely amazing. It says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all. Listen, I love that. All that we can ask or think. That means God can do more than all you can ask or think. So you need to fire up your imagination and stop praying little prayers. I realize that we want to pray for that person in our family who's struggling with cancer, but why are we praying just for that and not for the eradication of all cancer? I realize that we want to pray that Greta and Living Alternatives would be strengthened and that they would stand firm, but why aren't we praying for the abolishment and end of all abortion? Why are we praying smaller prayers and not larger prayers? Why aren't we praying that God would somehow build up Mercy's Refuge over there at Living Alternatives, instead of saying, God, I know that you are able and you can do abundantly more than we can ask or think. I want you to open up 100 Mercy's Refuges all across this country. You know, we pray these little prayers according to the power. Listen, this is amazing. Can do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think, according to the power at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. amen.
Hmm.
I mean, it's a fabulous verse. And listen, the whole point of all of this is that it identifies our short-sightedness and it asks God to do in us what we can't do in our own strength or what foolishly we think we can do.
Hmm.
It's saying to God, I can't do it and I need you to do it. I wonder if we might be like that little boy who was heard to say when he fell into the tub of jelly beans, Lord, make my capacity equal to this opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Lord, fill me to the fullness with your spirit and your power. Lord, throw open the doors of the storehouses that I might access the riches of your glory because I want to go and share the gospel with my neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to go and boldly into dark places and proclaim your gospel.
Hmm.
I think we've been equipped to do it. And I think, Mark, that we have such a small view of God. I think for some of us, maybe we don't believe he's able.
Yeah.
Maybe we don't believe he'll really do it. And, you know, that's a tough place. But I'm telling you, God is faithful. He is able, and he can do immeasurably more than you can ask or imagine. Maybe the problem is we're spending far too much time looking for big, huge miracles instead of getting quiet and listening to our own breath and realizing the fact that we just were able to breathe, that was a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
That the next breath we took was a miracle. That the thoughts that we have are a miracle. That the wisdom that comes from us is a miracle by God's grace that we're here. Because this breath that I just breathed, that's God's to take and to give. He could take me at any time, or he can keep me here and just keep pushing me out on mission. But it's God because he's sovereign over all things, and he is able.
Mm-hmm. And those of us that have asked Jesus Christ into our heart have that power source. We can tap into that Holy Spirit that lives and abides in us. We are those branches into the vine, and we are equipped with the power because God has given us the power, and we can tap into his resources.
Yeah, I just want to say to maybe the person who's listening right now that, listen, God is able. I have seen it. God is able to take a fallen man and make him the head of his house. God is able to take a wrecked marriage and make it a glorious picture of marriage for others who are struggling. God is able to release past hurts and give freedom. God is able to take the lost and turn them into leaders. He's able to take a wretch like me and turn him into someone who can glorify him. Listen, God is not only able, but he is at work in us. And what we need to do is to turn and to repent and to realize that he is at work.
Amen. And I'm closing out with, I just found it. God is able, and he is in fact able. Thanks for listening. Mm-hmm. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.
He is able. Accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. He is able, more than able, to do much more than I could. To make me what he wants me to be. Accomplish what concerns me today.